is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, a conversation with State Representative Christine Goodwin on the heels of the one-day special session of the Oregon State Legislature on Monday. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Kyle. Always happy to be here.
So talk about overall, what was the session like? What are kind of some of your overall thoughts?
Well, what brought us into the building was rental assistance. And so basically what has happened there, just let me review for your listeners. The governor locked us down, locked businesses down a couple of years ago, and of course created unemployment. So we have to help those individuals by no fault of their own that they lost their jobs. And so, of course, unemployment benefits occurred, as well as federal money flowed into the state, roughly $300 million, of which about $71 million was spent for administrative costs. Now, you would think for that kind of money, you would get some great administration, but that was not the case. They really slow-walked this thing, lots of excuses for why that happened, but they basically didn't get the money out very effectively, very efficiently to renters. So there needed to be the legislature convened a couple times, did eviction moratoriums. But we are really now at the end of that. The applications that are in the pipeline right now are, they stopped those applications, but they are still being processed. So those individuals who truly had a crisis because of COVID. Now, the application process has become a little murky. I'm a little suspect that it's not really means tested very well. So I objected, as did the Republicans, to throwing more money at this, new money now, another $100 million from the state. So we were all in opposition to that.
So that was really the big topic of the day. There were a lot of other things, too, that we can get to here in a little bit. Mm-hmm. At the front end of how the governor's office kind of put the information out towards Monday, kind of ahead of Monday, and then afterwards as well, made it sound like there was a lot more agreement between both sides as to what to do.
No, this is really, I would say our state agencies did not pass the stress test. This was failure. It's still amazing to me how people in these agencies can look at you with a straight face and boast about their success of this program. Yeah, this is the third time they need extension. It's all, landlord, especially like the small landlord, the mom and pop landlords, they call. Like Harold, who came to us, and he has five rental units. And people really just said to him, they didn't even go through the application process. They just said to him, the governor told me I didn't have to pay my rent. So, and they don't have the mechanisms like some of the larger housing providers, to really evict people. It really has become quite a mess. And we are arguing that let's audit. Let's hold these agencies accountable for this money.
So for those smaller landlords, a lot of them still have mortgages on those properties.
Sure.
Often. And just do the math there. And suddenly, if you have five people not paying you $800 or $900 a month, that's and yet at the same time, you've got to make payments on those homes.
Sure.
That's a tricky situation.
And they're just, it really was just handled pathetically. I think our energy needs to be focused on housing shortage. I mean, that's really the problem in our state. That is the theme we're hearing overall. There's only 0.5% of the land mass of Oregon that is available for building. We have a huge problem with our zoning laws, our rules, regulations. I mean, it's just onerous for people to try to do construction. Of course, now look at the cost of construction. But these Democrats in the state, they really are trying to create a permanent kind of rental subsidy. And it is my view that government doesn't make anything more affordable. We don't have workforce. I mean, we have a workforce shortage right now. We are recovering from this whole COVID. We need to let free markets forces recover and restore, and this can be sorted out. It's just this constant government intervention in a problem. They just make it worse, and they just throw more money at it, and there's no auditing of this or accountability for it. So, no, we were not in agreement. They pulled us into the building because they offered two other bills that were really of interest to us that we thought were the emergency.
Well, and talk about what those were.
Well, the natural disaster emergency bill, which is already money in the emergency account. So these are for people who've experienced floods, wildfires, droughts, pests, all those things. Our farmers and ranchers throughout the state, not as much in our county, I don't believe, as some of the other counties, but certainly those people needed to be helped out. So that's what they do. They kind of lure you in. You have to come in because they knew this is Governor Brown's just trying to cover her failings. And this whole thing. In fact, she'll have a press conference today at noon, and you watch. She'll probably brag about how, you know, they'll beat their chest about how they've really helped people out in this rental assistance. And I think it's grossly overstated.
Now, along with that, there was also some funding for dealing with the aspects of illegal marijuana growth.
Yeah, so let's talk about our neck of the woods. And international cartels, and they are not just Mexican cartels, Chinese, Israeli, Russian, huge illegal growing operations, human trafficking, horrific conditions. So Representative Lily Morgan, Josephine, Rep. Kim Wallen out of Medford, they have really been driving this conversation. We found that there's, you know, these our counties just do not have the capacity, the enforcement capacity to really take these cartels on. So there's going to be some money. It's probably a state police. But even in our state police, we used to have in the 75, 77 biennium, we had 750 roughly state police officers. Today we have 450. We've got a real problem in enforcing, and this is growing because obviously there's no controls at our border.
Now, with these cartels, more than once in the last 6 months, have I got a press release from locally from Douglas County Sheriff's Office, but also I get ones from around the region, Lane County and Josephine and Jackson County as well, where I've thought I had a typo. It's like, wait a second, the value of the marijuana was, that's not right. Could it be right? It really is right. And it's been just astronomical, almost never seen before amounts and sizes, and even in some cases, the number of buildings. But when you find properties that are just off the beaten path, it's amazing how many of these have stayed hidden for so long.
Yeah, yes. And, of course, they're stealing water. No respect for water rights whatsoever. They're actually forcing, there's organic farmers, an example, that are being forced out of business because they're stealing all their water, can't grow their crops. The human trafficking aspect of this is just unbelievable how we can just look the other way. They hold them really in slavery. They're not working. They're not paying these people to do this work. They're in squalid conditions. I've heard stories of them even taking children. You keep working for us because we've got your child and we're going to hold that hostage. I mean, it's just appalling, and we have to focus on it. I think the northern part of I think that's where we had the most agreement, I would say, overall on the floor that we need to help these people. This is a creep. This is a really nasty creep into our state, this illegal marijuana. It's also not fair, I must say, to the legal growers. They are the people that they went through the licensing process. They pay lots of taxes, and that has to be respected as well. So we've got to really address this issue.
Where do you think these funds are going to help out? What kinds of things are they going to do?
Mostly enforcement, I think, law enforcement, and they're going to hire, the water people. There's some disagreement about how that will be managed, but basically the water masters, have to really watch the water rights. We're in a drought.
All right, we're going to talk more with State Representative Christine Goodwin on Inside Douglas County. When we come back, the interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Riverside, Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1 KQEN Local Talk at 4 with Umpqua Valley Live, our special interview live from Maui this afternoon with Grammy Award-winning musician John Cruz with us for a good chunk of today's program. Monday on Inside Douglas County, State Senator Floyd Brzezinski will be on with us. State Representative Christine Goodwin here now talking about the session Monday. You were there one day, and was it a longer day or a shorter day or just kind of an average eight-hour day?
Well, it's always hurried up to wait, it seems to me, in the Capitol. But, yeah, it ended up being, it could have been a much longer day, but it ended up being about a 6 o'clock, yeah, closure of the day.
So when you walked out, what were your thoughts about what got accomplished during the day?
Well, I think the wins for the Republicans were the natural disaster relief and the illegal marijuana growing, that enforcement bill. So that was, we didn't approve of the rental assistance. But since we've gotten home, our emails, now my emails have always been on fire about mandates, vaccine, face masks, so on. But people are really concerned, and rightfully so. And I want you to know that we are reading all of those emails and we are responding. I only have one staff, but we're getting to it. But what's happening here is the Oregon Health Authority, which is they are unelected members of the executive branch. And of course, they imposed temporary rules on masking and on mandates on vaccines at the beginning of the corona. And now they want to make those rules permanent. Now they are an unelected authority. This kind of huge policy needs to happen through the legislative body, and they are trying to work outside of it. So what I want everyone to know is that I am fighting this, so are the other Republicans in the House, and we agree completely that we should not forego our constitutional rights, give up our freedoms in this manner because of an emergency declaration, which is really what they're still operating under. So I need to ask everybody to please get involved. Your emails to my office, let me give you my email address, by the way. It is rep.christinegoodwin@oregonlegislature.gov. And if you reach out to us, we will link you to, give you all the numbers and the references. We really need oral and written testimony right now. We need those voices in opposition to be recorded. So if you've already reached out to my office, we are getting back to you with those links. And when you do opposition, you will have to link the rule number exactly. So a little bit of a process. I don't want it to sound intimidating. It's really not. We will direct you through that. But it's really important because it's public comment time now until January 14th. And this cannot stand, that they just impose this emergency is over. So moving this to a permanent rule status is not agreeable with me.
So do you think they'll try to make a move before the legislature's back in session?
Probably, yeah. Probably. I know we are writing. We are all in support. We are writing. I just want everybody to know we're fighting this, and they need to get engaged in fight, too. And I know the energy's out there. I can feel the energy. People really enough of this already. And things are illogical. They're not scientifically based. It is, we are in the business in government to help and support people and not control and force them to do things that is against their will. We have lost all medical liberty in this state. So we're going to protect your constitutional rights, even as we protect public health. But this needs to be a legislative body decision. The debate and the decision has to be outside of these unelected officials in state government.
Is this coming down as clearly one party versus the other in terms of where people's opinions are?
Pretty much, I would say. Yeah. We want to return to our freedoms and let people choose for themselves. They can choose vaccines for themselves. If they choose to be masked, they can choose to be masked. Yeah, that will protect themselves from that. That's their choice. They cannot impose those rules. And as you know, the hypocrisy in this is just thick. I mean, our governor and our speaker, they're all off in D.C. in their elite little, you know, foo-foo little parties and stuff, not wearing their masks. So it's kind of a, you know, it's the rules they love to impose on us that they don't have to abide by.
With the Republicans in a clear minority, though, how do you make progress in that way?
Well, isn't that always, that's the challenge, isn't it? Yeah, it can be pretty disheartening because, you know, when your only weapon is to not provide quorum, that's it. Because once they're in the, once they've got you on the floor, you know, just like in the rental assistance, they're hell bent to spend another $100 million, and they've got 31 votes, and that's what they're going to do. Now, I will just tell you all, though, the polls are looking a little better. I think we can pick up some seats, and we're still very firm red down here in Southern Oregon, but we just, this kind of super majority that they have, it is just not good democracy. It's not good for the people. This is not how good decisions are made. It's just, you know, it's our way or no way.
As you look to the session, what kinds of things are you focused on? Is there legislation you're working on?
Yes. Well, here are a couple. I'll just highlight a couple. We just met the caucus, and this is what we do, bring all of the you know, because we're all serving on committees, so you bring those bills that are forming out of committee right now. We have our bills in the LC, so those are coming to us as we're making amendments and getting co-sponsors and so on. So really getting briefed on what's coming up in short session. We, every representative can run two bills, whereas in the long session in 23, I don't think there's any limit on the bills. But so here, we want to end the governor's state of, there will be a bill to end the governor's state of emergency. There will be a bill for a constitutional amendment to limit emergency powers. And we also are really pushing to create that independent commission for conducting a redistricting, because, again, this redistricting process was so partisan. We want to reinstate stronger educational standards for graduation. We want to create an Oregon Parents Advisory Committee, making the superintendent of public education an elected position, and requiring schools to display current curriculum online. We want stronger penalties for criminals who leave their victims with permanent physical injury. That's called Ezra's Law. We're going to restore Oregon's right to self-defense by repealing SB 554. I think my constituents will be happy to hear that. And giving law enforcement the tools to manage riots. So that's just a few. There's some health care, natural resources. Oh, we've got the private forest accord, which will, it's a big compromise between the environmental groups and private companies, timber companies. But I think, you know, I've talked to several people that were involved with that conversation, and I think that can move forward. We can just stop the timber wars with that. So there's some, yeah, I'm sponsoring the veterans bill, of course. So that is, make sure our veterans are not left unclaimed in a mortuary, left that they are buried properly. And then the predator bill, which is the predator control district, which works very well in Douglas County, and we want it. That's going to sunset, so that's going to be harder. That's always a harder one, I think, to argue, and I'm really new at this still, but.
And going into the new year as well, we're getting close to the election cycle there, so people's future plans are beginning to come out more.
Yes.
and a lot of shifts as people run for other offices.
Yeah, a lot of movement. So 4 or 5 of the reps currently now in the Republican Party are going to run for Senate seats. Ron Noble is going to run for that new congressional seat. There are 2 or 3 retirements, and so there could be 10 new reps in the House in the 23 cycle.
Originally, when you came in to fill the rest of this term, the idea was that it was going to be short term. Any thoughts about changing that?
Boy, I have thoughts. You know, it's so much work to get up to speed and to, you know, I can really see by the end of the year, you know, I really have some skills and confidence in the job. And so it is kind of hard to walk away from that, but no comment, no commitment there.
All right. 1258.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.